Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the markets, in particular UK equities and some of the biggest themes out there. And to do that, we're kindly joined once more by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being with us today.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Yes, very well, very well. Getting in the Christmas spirit here, isn't the run up to Christmas.
Yep. Potential Santa rally on the cards.
That's it. And that's something that we're going to be discussing, touching on in the podcast today. But before we do that, Alan, let's look at probably, I wouldn't say the most important element in markets at the moment, because there's a lot going on, of course, with the Federal Reserve and potential hikes, not only there, not hikes in the Federal Reserve. They'll be looking at tapering and then what that means for hikes going forward. But there is a potential for a hike in rates here in the UK in the December meetings. That's going to be closely watched. But we've discussed that in some detail in recent podcasts. So what we're going to look at just now is some data we've had out from the housing market, because it flows quite nicely into one of the equities we're going to be discussing today in Barclays Group Holdings. We had a record increase in house prices yesterday released from Halifax, the highest for 15 years. There's a 3.4% increase in average house prices in the quarter finishing November, Alan. What does this suggest to you going forward for the housing market and what it could mean for the wider economy? If we're starting to see house prices run away, are we set for a pullback, which then could cause further waves throughout the economy if we do start to see, you know, that wealth effect in the UK diminish if we see house price falling as we start to see normalisation in the housing market?
That's a very good question. I think it's a question that we've asked ourselves many times over the past 10 to 15 years. I mean, you look at house prices today compared to where they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and it almost beggars belief. But the simple fact is that there is a well-documented housing shortage in the UK, which is why the house builders like Taylor Wimpey, like Barclays Group, who we're going to talk about shortly, continue to build and buy land banks at the rate that they're buying, because we are an island, we're a finite territory. So land is always going to be at a premium. And if people want to live here, then there is a price to pay. And of course, in the southeast where we're based, there is always a shortage there. There's brownfield territories that can be developed, and but of course you've got planning permission issues and a whole raft of stuff that you have to go through, and all that serves to drive the price and the value of existing assets higher. So I don't see any. I think the run on valuations will ebb and flow, but I think we've got such nascent strength in the property market at the moment. And let's not forget as well, you know, this is also this is also with a fall off in the value of commercial property, particularly in the cities, following the COVID crisis, with the mass migration effectively from the city, people working at home. So of course that's had the net effect of driving rural prices, houses in the countryside, also in market towns. It's had the net effect of driving house prices higher. So once commercial property, once we start to return to some normality, there'll probably be a slowdown in the rate of housing market growth. But given that we have this ongoing shortage, more people want to own houses here than there are houses available to buy, that will always support and maintain property prices, certainly as far as I can see for the foreseeable future.
I mean, it's actually interesting when you break down the different regions in terms of house price increases. Scotland and Wales, very strong, very much driving these increases in house prices as this race for space took place during the pandemic and followed through into the summer, there's, of course, signs of that starting to diminish. We're actually seeing here in London house prices rising at just 1%, so really lagging behind the national average there. Is that something you could foresee changing going forward? Do you see London prices start to stabilise in terms of growth and come back in line with the national average? Or do you think this is something that could be set to continue for some time?
Well, I think we've seen a migration, people with city properties selling up and moving out. And of course, they're able to buy, properties or good sized properties in the country because of the price differential. But of course, that's starting to not level out, but certainly the disparity between the two is reducing. So at some stage, city properties will start to look very good value again. And so the cycle will start again. The rural properties or the prices out of the cities will probably flatten out. They'll probably stay that way for a couple of years. City properties will start to come back. And of course, I think we're seeing the signs now. Talk about the Omicron virus and how dangerous it is. It looks to be more contagious, more infectious, and less lethal, which of course is the normal cycle of a virus. The virus needs to survive, so it adapts to survive, but becomes less lethal, so it doesn't kill the host, and that's how it will go. So, potentially we're looking at a scenario where we could see the virus in a year's time being lumped in with flu and, winter colds and everything else. That's obviously some way off. And of course, there will be other viruses too that will come in. But I think once it's under control, the vaccination program has been a huge success, no matter what people say. Once it's under control, I'm sure that people will be looking at city properties and thinking, well, that's a bargain. It's down 20-25% on 2 years ago, so I'm going back in, and then off we go again on the next property cycle.
Indeed. I think always with property, when we've seen some dips in London compared to the national average, it hasn't lasted for long, and you do get those buyers stepping back in. Where buyers have also been stepping back in, Alan, if you fast forward from last week when we were discussing, are we going to have a Santa's rally in equity markets? We didn't really know too much about the Omicron variant at that point in time. We still don't know a huge amount now. There's starting to be some data coming through, although it's very patchy. So we wouldn't like to say what that could mean going forward, because there's a huge amount of research that still needs to be done on it. But one thing we can see is buyers stepping into equity markets. We discussed whether there would be a Santa's rally in equity markets last week, and it looks as though there is so far. Very strong gains so far this week in the FTSE 100 and US indices. When you're looking at these equity markets in the short term, Alan, do you think this is just people stepping in to pick up beaten down shares on the volatility that we saw on the announcement of Omicron, or is this something that people are really looking forward to next year now, and thinking, okay, we could go higher here, we're in the economic situation where we could see higher growth, or is it just simply buying up beaten down shares?
I think it's a combination, John. We're seeing some volume return to the market, and prices are being driven higher. And of course, there has been a Santa rally most years in the market, and investors and traders have made money. So they're always going to come back to the market at this time of year and speculate. So volumes increase. But it is going to be for the half of December, of course, as we get nearer Christmas, then everyone goes into holiday mode and volumes become very light indeed. But certainly, there are a number of factors in place. And I think the data that's emerging on Omicron, of course, I must point out that I didn't mean to dismiss Omicron just now as a common cold, but of course it isn't. It's far more serious than that. But it does appear that the virus is mutating and evolving, and there could be some light at the end of the tunnel. I think that's certainly the movements in the market the past few days, you know, the resurgence in the S&P would seem to indicate that that's the general consensus of opinion. And of course, we're talking about properties just now. Today we've seen Barclay Group Holdings reporting a very strong set of interim results. The group said really strong trading during the period. They've raised their forecast for current year profits after half year profits grew by 26% to just under 291 million. They delivered 1,800 new homes in the period, or 1,828 new homes. And also, the group said, the CEO, Rob Perrin, has just said that they've got excellent visibility going forward. So they've increased earnings for the current financial year by 5% and expect to see pre-tax, approximately 5% growth in annual pre-tax profits for the next 3 years, which will see Barclay deliver profits of some 625 million in 2024-25. And of course, that's when we, and that's also backed by a 50% increase in volume from pre-pandemic levels, you know, and that's pretty impressive, you know, when you consider what we've been through and what we've emerged from as a nation. That's a pretty impressive set of numbers. But of course, what Barclay did, and you know, other landowners we've spoken about, Barrett's and Taylor Wimpey and others, have also done the same thing. They've snapped up land banks during the middle of the COVID crisis, and bought tracts of land when prices have been low, and of course. That goes into the land bank, and when the time is right, when the economics support the move, they then go in and develop that land. So they have a huge land bank to work on. So they're able to provide great forward visibility like this, and that's a really important factor for investors. And of course, we're seeing the share prices up nearly 5% this morning, which is that's a £5.5 billion company. So that's a pretty chunky movement. Shares have come off year lows sort of at around 41 pounds a share, and they're up to £48 a share now. Year highs of £54 a share. So given this momentum, with the next trading update, I'm sure we'll see the group propel its share price higher. And of course, investors holding the shares will be delighted with a 2.6% dividend yield over the year too.
So just looking at the chart here, Barclay Group and actually the rest of the householders have a very high correlation in terms of share price movements over a year or two and obviously longer than that. They don't seem to be getting up to those levels with any real vigour that they were before the pandemic. And just looking at the results from Barclay Group Holdings here this morning, they said they've seen sales reservations exceeding in the last 6 months that those of just before the pandemic. So it suggests business is strong there, but the share price isn't reflecting that. What do you think is holding these shares back from getting up there? I mean, is it concerns about what happens next year in the housing market? Is it concerns ongoing about the pandemic and, new variants and such like? Or is it, the sort of bigger economic picture at the moment with inflation and what that could mean for interest rates? Or a combination of all of those?
I think there's a combination of all those, John, and also, of course, the Brexit factor too, supply chain difficulties, although certainly there have been huge increases in the cost of building supplies. I know that firsthand. As I'm currently chatting to my builders outside who've told me that the price of roofing tiles have risen, and that's a fact. I know that for a fact. So of course that has to be factored in. So I think I think whilst Barclay have delivered a great set of numbers this morning, you've got the inflation, the increase in cost of building materials that's a factor going forward, the ramifications of Brexit, which are still unclear, although of course Barclay being UK centric shouldn't be too badly affected, and of course is Omicron the end of the beginning or the beginning of the end for COVID, which is a key factor. So I think all those factors, you know, we've seen a decent blip in the share price higher this morning, but as you say, it's that they're not. The increases in share price are rather blips rather than a sustained run. And I think it's for that reason. And probably cautious investors are looking at the blip higher, maybe taking profits and taking money off the table until a clearer picture emerges.
Indeed. And I'm sure with the ongoing issues we're having with the pandemic, we will see downsides at some point in markets. And that will prove to be a buying opportunity, as we've discussed previously. So that's probably worth keeping an eye on there. So let's move on to the next company that we're going to discuss today. And this is a new one to the market, Alan, Technology Minerals. So not one that we've discussed on the podcast previously. So would you ever tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, this is a fascinating company. It is the first UK listed sustainable circular economy company for the battery metals industry. The company takes you right through the cycle of exploration, getting the metals out of the ground, getting them into circulation within the economy, and then as they get to the end of their service life, those materials are then recycled, and there's an entire industry around that, which Technology Minerals half owns a company called Recyclus, which incidentally is run by the same board as Technology Minerals, so it's very much an in-house venture, that company is pioneering. It was the first UK company with the capability to recycle and repurpose batteries on an industrial scale, and I'll come to that in a second. The company has a very experienced board that it's put together over the years. We have Alex Stanbury, who's the chief executive, and Alex is very much a city-based personality. He's worked in mining and resources for 15 years, the natural resources sector, and has worked with many London investment banks, held senior positions across the sector. The chairman is Robin Brundle, and Robin is a motorsports enthusiast and has a lot of history in the automotive industry. He's the brother of Martin Brundle, the Formula One ex-driver and commentator. And Robin has a long track record of working with businesses. He's a turnaround specialist and has undertaken a lot of work in the new EV marketplace. He's developed the Formula E, that's of course the electronic racing global rights and a raft of other work he's undertaken in the sector. So the Technology Minerals offering, the company has a number of key projects which are engaged in cobalt, nickel and copper. It has a project in Spain, northwest Spain, at Astomet, with seven exploration permits, one of which has been granted, six of which have been applied for. There are two projects in Idaho, the Idaho Blackbird project, where it's set to acquire a 100% interest in the Blackbird Creek property, which is prospective for cobalt and copper. The Idaho Emporium project, which is a cobalt project, an area some 55 square kilometers. Exploration work is currently underway there. Then we move to Cameroon. There's Technology Minerals Cameroon with five exploration permits in southeast Cameroon. Work has been undertaken there. It's prospective for nickel and cobalt. And then in Leinster, in County Wicklow, near to Dublin in Ireland, there are 15 prospective licenses with nearly 500 square kilometres prospective for lithium pegmatites. those project values have been valued collectively, their individual values. The collective value is circa 20 million. So there's an awful lot of battery metals there in the ground to be bought out, mined and bought to market in the next few years. But it's a circular economy company. We then come to the recycling part of the business. I mentioned Recyclers, and of course, both Robin and Alex are directors of Recyclers. Technology Minerals currently owns 49%. And Recyclers recycles lithium ion batteries and lead acid batteries. And it has two Midlands-based, around Wolverhampton, two Midlands-based plants where the components of the batteries are broken down and recycled. And of course, recycled lead sells for something like £1,120 per tonne. And the plastic and acid also resells on the market too. And then you've got the breakdown of the metals and the components, which is referred to in the industry as a black mass. And that goes back into production, and the component metals are then recycled and reused. It's estimated in the UK that there will be some 131,000 tonnes of cathodic metals required in the UK by 2040, and Recyclers believes that with the infrastructure it's developing, it can supply some 22% of that. So that's a hugely significant factor in the growth of this part of the business. So the company has set out projections for turnover and growth. It's estimated some 9.6 million turnover in the first year, 28.5 million turnover in the second year, rising to 55 million year three, 110 million year four, 220 million year five, and a break into a profit, just over 5 million profit in year two. Now, what's significant about this is that, of course, the buzzword nowadays is ESG, environmental, social, and governance. Recyclers is developing an infrastructure that there are companies out there that recycle batteries, but there is no vision from the current technology sector players to develop something that is in line with the government, the COP26 guidelines for net zero and carbon neutrality. So what Recyclers is putting in place is a structure where it can develop a recycling process which involves collecting the batteries safely, transporting them safely. It's today announced a development partnership with WNG Engineering, which is significant in that it removes what's referred to as the dangerous part of the recycling process in breaking up the batteries. It removes that process altogether and replaces it with a far safer process. So a significant step in itself. And this is partly what makes Recyclers unique in its field. And it's also looking to create this blueprint for government and for the transport and renewable energy industry and accelerate the process over the next few years. So really, Recyclers have the blueprint compared to competitors like Duesenfeld, Cawley's, Bruce, Tezam and Li-Cycle. Recyclers literally ticks all of the boxes on every aspect of this, the sustainable recycle plan for lithium ion and lead acid batteries going forward. And this is what makes it exciting. It's already developed a number of partnerships. We're going to hear a lot more about those partnerships as the company goes forward next year. And the two Midlands recycling plants will be very much on stream early in quarter one in 2022. So the company currently has a market cap of about 25 million, and with the sector set to expand enormously in the next few years, Recyclers and Technology Minerals are right at the front of the queue.
Indeed, and this is certainly going to be an interesting one to see what it looks like in terms of revenue generation. As you said there, Alan, they've got their first project set to go online very shortly, and it's going to be interesting to see in their first update to the market how that goes in terms of meeting those forecasts. I'm sure one that we discuss on the podcast again when we get a little bit more insight into how their activities are going in terms of generating revenue. So we're going to move on now to the next company we're going to discuss today, Revolution Bars, Alan. Now, this is, I know, one that has taken your eye in the last month or so. Obviously, very well-known chain of bars. You know, many cities around the UK has a Revolution in it. I'm just looking at the chart here. Very interesting in terms of support it's currently at. It's about 20p. But what's been happening there, Alan, at the business?
Well, I'm looking at Revolution Bars as a recovery play. You know, as we come out of COVID, and obviously, you know, we're, you know, the bars are now starting to fill up again. As you rightly say, Revolution Bars has some 70 odd premium bars up and down the UK. It's developed the Revolution and the Revolution de Cuba a bar concept, and in the 53 weeks to July, the company basically delivered what was a pretty impressive performance, considering that obviously most of the places had been locked down, and the sales basically came in at just under 40 million from 110 million previously, losses of 21 million from a 32 million loss previously. So the company has worked hard to cut down and reduce losses over the period. But certainly the debt has also been reduced. During the year, it raised 34 million and exited 6 loss-making bars. It's now sitting with cash in the bank, and also it's in a position now where it can go out, and because I mentioned commercial property prices earlier. Of course, the commercial property prices are much lower now. And what this is doing for companies that require premises, it's giving them great opportunities to go in and negotiate hard and get some really good deals. And Rob Pitcher said this in the results announcement. He said that there are good opportunities post COVID, and it's given them the ability to quote unquote expand at much lower levels of investment. The group is seeing a return to normal trade following the investment that it's made in the brands. Post the results period, the company said the first 14 weeks of full year 2022 exceeded the total revenue generated in full year 2021. So the share price it responded, but then of course I think with the advent of Omicron, it's fell sharply again, and here we are just off year lows. Well, the year low was 15 pence a share. Currently trading at 20p a share, down from year highs, obviously, when everything opened up back in May. So I see, you know, given that the group is restructured, it's got cash at the bank, we're starting to open up again. I do see this as a very strong opportunity for recovery. And the group's got its AGM on December 22nd, so we may get some insight into how trading has been going since the results announcement. Now, you know, certainly a very exciting play with lots of potential for 2022.
Yes, indeed, Alan, and it's one of many, I feel, in the travel and leisure sector, which are just waiting for us to get through with any certainty the pandemic, and they're ready to really explode higher in terms of, you know, getting their businesses back online, which should then transfer through into the share price. But of course, you know, with this new Omicron variant, that's kicked that back some time, and I think that disappointment's been evident in the share price. But one would think over time, as we move through this, and if what you say at the beginning, there is a school of thought out there that we start to see mutations which makes coronavirus become like a common cold, and we start to live with it, and there isn't the concern about it, that may be actually some years off But as we move into that, the anticipation will probably start to see companies like this move higher. So definitely an interesting company to keep an eye on there. So the final company we're going to touch on very briefly is one that we've discussed on the podcast in some detail previously. Conroy Gold, Alan, has had some very interesting moves in its share price recently.
It's phenomenal, isn't it? It's suddenly bounced back very strongly, you know, very much against the general trend in the mining sector. But it just shows what happens when a plan comes to fruition. I talked about this in detail on another channel over the weekend. But the company, of course, is based in Ireland on the Longford Down Massif, where it has a number of gold projects which is being developed. There is a JORC resource for the Clontibret mine, and the entire area, Clay Lake, Sleevgar, all the rest of it. There's huge potential there for gold, which Professor Conroy, who of course is the Conroy and Conroy Gold, has been with his team working on for many years. It's had a very up and down year. It announced a joint venture last year with Anglo Asian Mining, and that didn't come off. They parted company, a short time after that, a joint venture was announced with Demir, which is a Turkish gold company. And Demir come in, partner with Conroy Gold, and they've agreed terms. The terms have been agreed to a three-phase development of the gold projects, which involves a staged investment of several million euros. I think it's about 15 million in total over the three-phase investment, which involves bringing a mine at one of the projects up to construction ready, up to the point of being construction ready. So great to have a partner for Conroy. And that's why we've seen the share price jump literally in the past few days from 20p on the 30th of November to nearly double a week or so later. And here we are today, shares are 39p. I was chatting with somebody at an event last night about this, and you know, certainly the potential is there. The work has been done in establishing the value of the asset in the ground, and the coursework will really get underway next year, and we're going to see a lot more from the company. But it's great, and it's also great for the mining and resources sector, because it just highlights the nascent value that is out there in so many companies. And we discussed them: Power Metal Resources, ECR Minerals, tertiary minerals, to name but a few. You know, there are a lot of assets in the ground, and of course we've spoken about technology minerals and about the potential that they have going forward. The potential is battery metals. Copper is hugely in demand. Gold's always in demand. And you know, when these projects come to fruition, it can in many cases dwarf the existing valuation of the company. So I think we're set. Well, Conroy is certainly set for a very exciting year next year, as our tertiary, as our technology minerals. But I think the raft of other companies I've just outlined there are also set for a very strong year in 2022.
Indeed. And I'm sure in the next few weeks, in the run-up to 2022, Alan, we're going to do a podcast. We're going to outline some of our picks that we're going to be looking at quite keenly. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the companies we discussed today may be in those selections there. So listeners, do keep a listen out for that. So just a recap of the equities that we discussed today. First of all, was Barclays Group Holdings, the house builder, trades under the ticker of BKG. It was then Technology Minerals, the newly listed company focusing on battery metals and recycling, ticker of TM1. It was then Revolution Bars with the ticker of RBG. And just then was Conroy Gold with the ticker of CGNR. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, John.
Just as a note for listeners, do check out the UK Investor Magazine website, because there will be articles on some of the companies we discussed today if you're looking for some more details. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.